Well, it's good to be here, and I was thinking as I read through this passage a short while ago, what incredible link we as people have with water, don't we? And how much we depend upon it. And I'm going to ask you to suggest a few things in a moment, so just to make sure that you're still awake at the back. But we do, we have an incredible link. According to, now I can't say I've ever read this, this is a quotation, but according to H.H. Mitchell, Journal of Biological Chemistry, volume 158, that's very precise, just in case you want to check this afterwards, Hayden, okay. The brain and the heart are composed of 73% water, and the lungs about 83% water, the skin contains 64% water, muscles and kidneys 79%, and even the bones are watery at 31%. You wouldn't believe that unless you'd heard it, would you? Watery bones, who's heard of that? Sports nutritionists indicate that if we are dehydrated by just 1%, it can affect our performance by up to 10%. So for the great North Run, I must have been dehydrated by 5%. If you believe that, you believe anything. So, come on, when I think about water, what do you think about water? What springs to mind with water? What sort of attributes, what sort of things?
Refreshing.
Countryside, yeah, refreshing. Springs. Countryside, natural, yes.
Springs,
yes.
Some car spring, obviously.
It's wet. Water is wet. Thank you, that's very literal, but that is very true. And most of us don't like getting too wet. Sorry?
You're baptised with water.
Baptised with water? Yeah. Great, yes. The outward confirmation that it's a death in Christ and you've rose to a new life in Him. Isn't that marvellous? Isn't that marvellous? Anything else you can think of?
Central heating runs on it.
Central heating runs on it. Very practical. No, that's true. That's true. It brings life, it brings refreshment, it brings new life in Christ, and gives us comfort. Fantastic. Great. Okay. Water is quite incredible, something we all need. It has a powerful effect on everything around it. Equally, if we look at some parts of the world, it can have a catastrophic effect if it doesn't reach those places. And in the account we read tonight, thank you, Elaine. In the account that Elaine read tonight, we see that there was a Samaritan woman who had gone to the well for water. It's quite a well-known account, this, isn't it? A well-known account, no pun intended. It is, though, isn't it? And she's an unnamed lady, unnamed in the scripture, but she was known and named by God. And that's an important place to start, isn't it? Because she was about to have an encounter with God, and the Lord knew her before she even knew that He was going to be there. If you get what I mean. So,
Jesus calmed the waves.
Jesus calmed the wave. Thank you. I think we're okay there now, but you're right. He calmed the wave. Power over the water that Jesus has. Fantastic. So, when she arrived, there was somebody there already to meet her. That's great, isn't it? When the Lord's there already to meet you. The heat of the midday sun, quite unusual. That most people would go in the morning or the evening because it was a bit warm. Very warm at that time. She didn't know who he was, but she was about to have an encounter like never before. An encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. What a place to be in. An encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. She had come to draw water from the well, natural water, but she needed something more than anything that was natural to transform her life, to change her life, to give her a new start. Her situation was difficult. To use a colloquial term, her life was a bit of a train wreck, wasn't it? It was a disaster, if I'm honest. And but that just goes to emphasise the point that there is no person beyond redemption when we come to Jesus. He is greater than any situation. He is more powerful than any situation. His love is determined to reach the individual in any situation as they come to him. So it's worth noting that Jesus can and will and always will want to meet the individual right where they are at their point of need. That was her point of need, wasn't it? Physically, it was her point of need. She needed to go to the well for water. But spiritually, that was her point of need too. What a life, what a situation she was in. And Jesus met her at a point of need. And if there's a need here tonight too, Jesus can meet your need and my need right here, right now. Do you believe he's still the same? Yesterday, today, forever. He is, isn't he? So he can still meet us at our point of need. Right here, right now. The same transforming Saviour. As the song says, I believe that you're here now. Standing in our midst with the power to heal now and the grace to forgive. The power to heal and the grace to forgive. The Lord Jesus is here. Is there anything too hard for him? Absolutely not. So there he was. There to meet her before she even realised that she needed meeting. Is that correct English? I don't know, but you know what I mean. He was there, and he's ready to minister. He's here to minister to us tonight. Thank the Lord for that. Jesus wants to meet us. How gracious and loving the Lord Jesus is. The first thing he does is ask her for a drink of water. He immediately caught her attention. And if we're here tonight, I'm sure it's the case that Jesus has caught our attention. More than that, but he caught our attention. Something about Jesus makes you and I want to hear about him more. Is that true? The more you get to know him, the more you want to know about Jesus. And that was the case with this woman. She was sort of thought she was going to be doing something ordinary, and Jesus caught her attention. She was surprised and she said, how can you ask me for a drink? You see, the issue was that as a Samaritan woman, if a Jew had accepted a drinking vessel from a Samaritan, that would have been unclean because they said that Samaritans were unclean. So there was an issue straight away, a barrier seemed to be put placed there. But I'm telling you, not for Jesus. No barriers for Jesus. Absolutely none. He is great. The holy, blameless Son of God dismisses the barrier and reaches the individual. No matter how great the barrier, the individual is reached through Jesus, through the message of the cross, through the message of salvation, through the message of the fact that he has conquered all. There is no barrier too great. He dismisses the barrier. The lady here personally thought that was an issue, but he dismisses it. Just as today, barriers are placed, aren't they? By people, groups, governments, peer groups, individuals, religions, society, whatever, place barriers. We perceive them to be barriers. But Jesus dismisses and surmounts them all. Ephesians 2. Verse 14 tells us about Jesus destroying the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by his death on the cross that brought victory. Now, I accept that that's slightly taken out of context. However, the truth still remains that Jesus can and will break down the barriers between the individual and the love of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, if anyone comes to him and wishes to sincerely repent and believe in him as Saviour, the barriers aren't barriers to him at all. I think it's been said before that, you know, when you talk about the God of the impossible, he's actually the God of the possible. There isn't an impossible to God, is there? Because he can do anything. He just said the word and everything came into being. He just says the word, speaks the word of life, of love, of transformation in the hearts. And that's what he was just waiting to do. Jesus was waiting to do to this woman. It says, Paul says in Romans 8, can anything in all creation separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Can anything? I'll ask you the same question. Can anything separate us from the love of God? Well, Paul goes on to list many things among them. Not even death, or life, or angels, or demons, the present, the future, or future power, height, or depth. So, can anything separate us from the love of God? Well, I'll answer the question. Me. The person, the individual, can be the barrier. So it's not something, it's someone, the self, the free will of an individual can get in the way, can be the barrier. Whether it be a person seeking Jesus for the first time or a person who is walking with the Lord, there can still be a barrier. Let there be no barriers to Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. The passage continues and Jesus tells the woman that if she knew the gift of God and who it was who would ask her, she would ask him and he would give her living water. Wow, what a gift. Living water. I bet she was really excited at this point. Can you imagine? It's the heat of the day and she comes there every day. She comes at a rotten time just so that she doesn't get sneered at or whatever because of the life that she's lived. Living water that would never run dry. What a gift. The gift. The gift like no other for this woman. The gift like no other for us too. Better than any other gift. A gift that people would pay anything for when we start to think about it. How many people in the world would pay anything to live forever? It's true, isn't it? It's the pearl of greatest price. Give up everything to live forever. We haven't actually got enough. There is no price that we can pay. Jesus paid it on the cross. He gave up his life. That is the price. The gift of eternal life to all of who believe in Christ Jesus as Saviour, our Saviour and Lord. You know, she initially sort of thinks, living water, well, that well's really deep. And I've sort of read it on a little bit, it was somewhere between 100 and 130 feet deep. Now that's quite a long way. Can you imagine getting a bucket of water and sort of trying to pull it up for that distance? That's quite a stretch. That would get your muscles going, believe it, wouldn't it? Certainly would.
What muscles?
Yes. And she sort of initially thinks about the deep well when Jesus talks about living water, but the Lord goes on to say that anyone who drinks from this well is going to thirst again. But what he can give her, what he can provide to her, is completely different. We're not talking about the physical water, because let's face it, on a warm day, or when it feels like about 40 degrees Fahrenheit, Celsius on the platform here, on a Sunday night, you need a drink, don't you? And then you might, after a little while, want another drink. And then if you've been out in the water, you might want a drink. Or if you get in the morning, you want a drink, because you're dry. That's only a few hours. Jesus was saying, drink of this water and you never, ever thirst again. And of course, he was talking about the spiritual water of life that he brings, that only he brings. And he goes on to say, it will become like a spring welling up. And that brings a picture of continuousness, doesn't it? Of refreshing, of renewing, of an abundant supply. Isn't it great the fact that the Lord is not stingy? It's not, I mean, I think we sometimes, well, I'm sure everybody has to, they measure things out because they think, oh, well, we'll need this tomorrow, or we'll need that the next week. Not so the Lord, because he is so abundant in everything he does and everything he has. I think I mentioned this previously about a commentary which said that about his grace was so abundant that he could give and give and give and still have as much as he started with. That's incredible, that, isn't it? And that's the same with all the attributes of the Lord. He gives and gives and gives and still has more and as much as ever to give. And Jesus said, I have come. Not in this passage, but in a different passage, he says, I have come that you might have life and have it, in one translation, abundantly, to the full, exceedingly more. That's incredible, isn't it? He didn't come to give us just enough. He can't give us life with a capital L. That was what the Lord Jesus came, and that's what he wanted for this woman. Jesus doesn't want us to be dry or restricted. He wants to give us life to the full. Life abundant. You know, probably like most folks who minister here, sometimes as you're considering the word, it takes a little while just to think about, and your mind might wander. At this point, Hayden's thinking, I wonder if it ever wanders back. I'll check on that later. Believe it or not, my mind wandered as I was thinking about water to an episode of Only Fools and Horses. Now I'm thinking, bah, that's a strange parallel, but bear with me. I think most of you will probably be aware of that particular TV program, Now Been and Gone, where you had Del Boy, this sort of dodgy geezer, and then you had his younger brother who was a bit naive, Rodney, but was a bit more honest as well. And this particular episode, they found a tap on Grandad's allotment, and they thought, I'd make a quick quid here. So he started bottling this water, and he was going to sell it as mineral water. To be precise, Peckham spring water. And he got a bottle of proper mineral water, had it through the lab test, and started selling it, distributing it through a supermarket. Unfortunately, he was unaware that it had been contaminated by the same yellow fluid that he'd thrown in the reservoir, and as it closed, it turned out the light and it started to glow green. What a disaster. Completely went wrong. And obviously that brought a bit of a smile to your face. But let's think about this. How many people or religions or philosophies today try to pervade what they have as genuine, when in fact it's false? When in fact they offer a false way, it gives false hope, and ultimately, it's certainly not false at the end, it's death. They are not even a poor imitation, and it's completely contaminated with lies and deceit. Jeremiah 2:13 says this, in fact it's God himself through the prophet that says this, for my people have committed two evils. They have abandoned, that is rejected me, the fountain of living water, and they have carved out their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Isn't that an incredible metaphor, is that the right word, for today's world? So many people reject the Lord, the fountain of living water, reject his sacrifice, reject his forgiveness, they reject the reality of sin and eternal separation from God. And many even reject that he exists and reject the offer of life there, and they're sleepwalking to eternity without the Lord. Psalm 14 verse 1 says this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Not just with the lips, because people are glib with words, aren't they? But it's what they really feel. How tragic. And the woman responds. Because we really want this living water. Who wouldn't? No more thirst, no more drawing the water and carrying it back, no more fingers pointing as it did it here. And then Jesus hit a nerve. Go call your husband and come back and draw water. I wonder what you thought about at that point. Five husbands and the person she was living with then wasn't a husband either. Of course, Jesus already knew the situation, didn't he? He already knew what her life was like. And that nerve that hit in her life is sometimes a nerve that hits in our life, and that's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction and telling us to put things right. And that happens at some time with all of us, even those who know the Lord, about putting things right. The Holy Spirit convicting men, women, children of sin, rebellion against God. But thank the Lord, his word clearly says that whosoever will may come. Whatever the situation, remember, meeting at the point of need, whatever the situation, whosoever will may come. As long as that person is honest before the Lord, assessing the position, repentant before him. And Jesus, as he said to another woman, go and sin no more. We too must have that open, repentant heart as we come to Jesus for forgiveness. See, the woman recognises that Jesus was someone special, perhaps even the prophet, but she quickly seems to change the subject. Do not think. Today, some people may have an interest in God, may even acknowledge Jesus, but they stop short of realising or accepting who he really is. And as Sanders already said, this is the message, the truth we have to take outside. How shall they hear unless someone is sent? Who is he? The Son of God. As John the Baptist put it brilliantly, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, look at him. And that's our job too. Look at him. This is Jesus. And there's further discussion ensues about true worship between Jesus and the woman. And perhaps from her perspective, it was what she'd heard, hearsay, theory. But Jesus explains the true nature of worship. In fact, Jesus emphasises that the true nature of worship is not dependent upon a place, although it's important to be together. But one day, true worship will be not in Gateshead, not in Wales. Bless Wales, Lord. That'll be in heaven. The true nature of worship, yes, it starts here. What a wonderful time we had this morning, didn't we? That was true worship. But one day it won't be dependent upon walking through a door in Dedham. We'll be in the presence of the Lord. That'll be true worship. In spirit and in truth. Spiritual value found only in Christ. In Christ. And as we're in Christ, we're transformed. And so is our understanding and our relationship with God the Father and Jesus as our Saviour. And at the end of the discussion, the woman attempts to drive the conversation along another path. Now, if you look at it quickly, it seems to indicate that she was continuing the same subject. She was talking about the Messiah. But in fact, she was sort of saying, right, okay, well, when he comes, then we'll understand it all. And it was almost like she was trying to cut the conversation short a little bit. But in fact, she was trying to avoid the issue about true worship and therefore who God really is. But Jesus brought her right back to the heart of the matter. And that's what Jesus does. We can't get away from the conviction of the Lord because he brings us back to the heart of the matter. Between him and you, him and me. He brings us back to the heart of the matter in any encounter with him. He declared that he was, and he still is, the Christ. And these words emphasize that he brought truth and life and understanding and freedom. This living water came from him. water like no other. The words of Jesus, the truth of the gospel, still bring truth and life and understanding and freedom. Thank God. She was looking elsewhere when the answer to her life was right in front of her all along. It's true, isn't it? He was right there, right in front of her. Let's make sure that we always have our eyes open for us and looking to him. Acts 4, Peter was speaking and said this, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men and women by which we must be saved." Know the name. Know the name, but the name of Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. It's no use trying this or doing that or following either. Salvation is found in no one else. Jesus is the one, the true, and the only living water. The only way to God. The water that cleanses from sin. The water that brings life in all its fullness. Remember, we thought about as water brings life. As a river flows through, there's life spreading. Life in all its fullness, and it overflows to those around too. Finally, she's excited, she leaves the water jar she brought and excitedly runs into town. And what does she cry out? "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." Now, that was obviously her perception, I suppose, but I don't think he could have gone through everything in however long she was there. But she understood that Jesus knew everything about her, just as he knows everything about us. The good, the bad, the indifferent. Jesus, being very God and yet very man, knows everything about us in every detail. And I have to say, I've written this down. As John Newman used to say, "He who knows us the best loves us the most." Thank you, Lord, for that. Because here's a woman who was in a desperate situation, and yet his love for her was evident. And whatever our situation, his love for us is absolutely evident and absolutely consistent. God's love never fails, ever fails. And what did she say? "Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ?" I think she was convinced. I'm sure she was convinced. She asked as she hurried through the streets, and as she declared about Jesus, the scripture says that they came out of the town and made their way to him. And a bit later in the same chapter it says, "Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him," in Jesus, "because of the woman's testimony." And that sort of circles back to us and the spring of living water, doesn't it? Because we've been thinking about how the living water affected this dear lady. But what about the spring welling up within us as believers? If we're coming to Jesus for the first time, then it's a dramatic transformation. Absolutely it is. Coming to Jesus to be cleansed, washed, renewed by the living water that Jesus brings, cleansed from sin, washed in his blood, renewed by his spirit when we're open to him. And if we've already been through that glorious transformation and are following the Lord, then how's your spring of living water? How's my spring of living water? Is it overflowing to others we meet? Sandra's already said something about that tonight. Are others drawn to the town to see Jesus because of our testimony? Or are you and I a little dry and perhaps we need to go back to the living waters that Jesus brings? Nothing wrong with going back to Jesus and asking for more. In fact, he loves it when you ask for more, when it's the right thing. To be refreshed, to be renewed by his Holy Spirit, that we may appoint others to him as we live each day. Anyone thirsty? Let's come to Jesus.